This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قلبي لا يخشع ونفسي لا تشبع ودعائي لا يسمع. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. عوز أبينا الحمد لله رب العالمين. ربي لك الحمد والمنة. As I was thinking, driving, coming, I want everybody, whenever you go to any masjid, whether it is the Rahma Center, whether it's ICOI, whether you're in Mecca, whether you are in any masjid, keep reminding yourself of the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't take it for granted, because he will take it away again. Can he? Ala kulli shay'in qadeer. So always remind yourself. See how many of you, when you enter your house and you say, لولا إن دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله. Why didn't you, when you enter your garden, said ما شاء الله? Remember, every Friday we read it, right? The two people, the two men of the garden. What was he telling him? Why you're not grateful? Why do you take things for granted? You take it as, of course, it's my house. Well, may Allah protect us all, but is it possible that sometimes we go home and there is no house? Is Allah capable? So always remember, don't take things for granted. Because once you take things for granted, it's going to be an issue. So always alhamdulillah. So when I was coming, I was like, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. For 2 years, ya Allah, he took this away from us. Rabbi lak alhamdulillah, brought it back. He brought it in a beautiful place. Look at the beauty around me. Subhanallah. And we asked for these and they ordered it right away, because a lot of ladies want these, because these are more convenient. You can see the speaker better. You don't block each other and you can write easier. So may Allah reward all the people who works in the Rahma Center, ya Rabbi Ameen. So what did we talk about in the last 2 weeks? Don't you think I'm not going to ask you? It doesn't work this way. Don't you think you're just going to come and listen and go home? What did we talk about? There are not going to be any exams. Maybe later. No, I'm just kidding. But you have to remind yourself always. Allah said it to us. Dhikr bina dhikra tanfa'u al-mu'mineen. Remind them, because reminding benefits those who are believers. So if I don't remember, or I don't benefit from being reminded, then I don't fit to be a believer. So what did we talk about? This is the third week. There's five more weeks. What did we talk about? What is the topic? What are we talking about? So obstacles to my path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, there is a path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that path should be smooth and easy, but there is obstacles. And I need to know these obstacles. Number one, I need to admit that there is a path. I am on that path, and I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day, at least 17 times, guide me through the right path. But this path is not always straight. Or sometimes it is straight, but it's not smooth. So this is what we are talking about. And what are the obstacles? So far we covered two. Number one, just simple. One was this life. The material things of this life, the beauty of this life, you know, the wealth, the children. We talked about this more detail last week, but in general, in life, is the beauty of this life. The weather is a distraction. You know, I always say this because I come from the Midwest, where the weather is hard, it's harsh. Like in the winter, when you open the door, sometimes you say, Ya Allah, you always remember the verse in Surah Al-Insan, لا يرون فيها شمسا ولا زمهريرا. One of the beauty of Jannah you will not see the extreme weather. You're not going to see extreme cold, and you're not going to see or feel extreme heat. So here you go. When you open the door in the winter, January, February, sometimes you say, SubhanAllah. And the same opposite, August, with the heat index could be 120 and 130. You open and you feel like if you're wearing glasses, the glass would be foggy. SubhanAllah. So one of the distractions of dunya, like living in California, is the beautiful weather. When I was coming, they said, oh, you're going to go to that beautiful, boring weather. I was like, wait, why is boring? They said, because it doesn't change. Like 70 becomes 73. So that's a distraction because it's the comfort. When I live comfortable and everything I want is easy and available, I get distracted. I don't call him. I don't ask him. So dunya. Then last week we talked about
attachments
to people. And how many of you felt or said, this is me? All of us, all of the above, right? Attachment to people. And people are, in general, we covered mainly on two. These were or are my spouses and my children. Spouse, whether it's the husband or spouse, it's the wife and the children. They absolutely, and you all have to think, that doesn't mean you need to not love or like your children or your spouses, but you need to be absolutely careful about how do I reach that balance. And we talked about it a lot last time. So from today till the end, we have 5 more weeks, we'll end inshallah just before the Eid. We're gonna talk about me. I am the biggest obstacle to me. True? You're looking at me like, what is she saying? Right? I am an obstacle to my path to Jannah. Yes or no?
Yes.
5 of the 8-week series is me. So I should not blame who? Anybody else. Because we are so good in blaming the others. So it is actually me. And in me, there is characters. This is what we're going to be talking about. In me, something in me. Could be all 5, there are way more than 5, but I just chose the most common 5. And this could be all me, could be one at one time. So I change, could be in the morning I'm one, or in the evening I am one, in the masjid I am one, I'm outside the masjid one. So the first one I opted to choose, which was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose in the Quran, which is arrogance, kibr. What is that? Who knows? Yes.
Thinking you
are better than others. Very simple, easy. Why it's an obstacle to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, I'm better. I'm prettier. I'm more educated. I know better. I speak better. Why it's an obstacle to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have you ever thought when you read the flyer, did you say, why this is an obstacle? I'm sorry? So we forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huh?
Because Allah ta'ala doesn't like it.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like it. It's definitely true. But there's 2 more reasons. Yes?
You don't gain more knowledge because you think that you are the best.
So you don't gain more knowledge. Yes, but there is a reason.
I don't need anyone because I know everything.
So you don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
So yeah.
But why is an obstacle in my path? Allah said, let me not torture you. Okay, Allah said it in the Quran. سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. I am, Allah, going to move away those, and He specifically said the arrogant one. Move them away from what? عَنْ آيَاتِي on my signs. Give me your heart and think with this. How do I know Allah? Go to the basics. How do you know Allah? I don't see Allah, do we? No, He did not want us to see Him, at least in dunya. How do I know He exists? How do I know He exists? And this is actually, when you study Aqidah, they teach you this. Let me give it to you, so you don't have to, like, she keeps asking us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I see Him, I can't see anything. Because Allah knows samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the earth, of the heavens and the earth. So He hajab nafsa, that's how they tell you. When you study Aqidah, say Allah shielded Himself Subhanahu, by His signs. تعرف إلى عبادي and he introduced himself to you and me through two things, his creation and through his actions. So when Allah said, I am gonna move away those who are arrogant, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِ, I'm gonna move them away, they will not see my signs. What happened? I can't see him anymore. Are you with me? So for example, you don't see me. Imagine you don't see me, right? But you hear me. There's a shield here. You say, she is here because we hear her. If I am an arrogant and I'm applying this ayah, Allah will make me not, or will make you not hear me. And then you don't learn. You don't see me. And he said, this is on Surah Al-A'raf, and there is many verses in Surah Al-A'raf about kibr, and I'll give you the connection. He said, those who are arrogant, I'm gonna make them not see my signs. One, it's the same verse. So أَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِ, I'll push them away. It's there. And I'll give you an example. We were in, again, we were in this beautiful place of the earth. We were hiking. We were a group of women, right? And there was, and hiking in like a beautiful, a lot of trees. And there was a frog, right? So our teacher said, what do you see? And everybody said, we see frog. And he said, what do you see? Everyone says frog. Finally, I was like, it's a frog. It's a green animal called frog. And he said, you didn't see it. He said, you didn't see the creation of Allah. Did you get that? سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِ. We were not arrogant, but we were heedless. We didn't think of it. So Allah said, those who are arrogant, I'm going to make them not see reality as a reality. I don't see his signs. What happens? My path to Allah will be obstacles. I don't see. I don't see this is the creation of Allah. What do I see? Microphone. I don't see this is a book. I see this is a book. I don't see this is a knowledge Allah gave me. Are you with me? I don't see children as ni'mah or fitna. I don't see the children as a blessing from Allah or a test. I see them my children. I see them, I worked hard on them. That's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala move you away from seeing those who are arrogant. And what else happens here in the same verse? وَإِن يَرَوْا كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا. And if they see every sign, they don't believe. Third applies to us. وَإِن يَرَوْا سَبِيلَ الرُّشْدِ لَا يَتَّخِذُهُ سَبِيلًا. And when they see the straight path, they don't take it. They argue, look at us. Human beings argue. And when they see the path of misguidance, they take it. Why? Because the only description he said, they are arrogant. Are you with me? What is the most common description in the Quran, I didn't come to the Sunnah, of the dwellers of Jahannam? Repeatedly in the Quran, it's not the kuffar only, not the people who don't believe. Who else? No, more commonly. Mutakabbirin. فَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Allah repeatedly said, what an abode. He's talking about Jahannam. To those who are arrogant. Allah said in Surah Az-Zumar. You know Surah Az-Zumar? The two groups. May Allah make us of this group. That we are all being guided and escorted to Jannah. Before he said that, he said about the people of Jahannam. سِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَرْضُهُمْ إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. Those who didn't believe, they were guided, escorted, but not to Jannah. To Jahannam. Then فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. The doors are open. This is so scary. And then the gatekeeper says, why are you here? Didn't he send you warners, messengers? Didn't? This is in the Quran, that's not my words. قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. Yep. Then go and taste the punishment. Then Allah said, فَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. What a bad abode, place for those who are arrogant. And there is so many, I mean, I looked it up, at least 20 or 30. Question for everybody. Don't answer me, answer yourself. Am I arrogant? Are you arrogant? What a question, right? Who's going to answer? My tazkiyah, my path to Allah, my purification of my heart, the answer is yes. Absolutely. All of us, certain times, I'm not going to say 24/7, I will be done. You will not be here, actually. No. But does it happen during the day? Maybe one time? What is the signs? And then I'll give you the hadith of Rasulullah. What is the signs in my daily life? Don't think of Quran and Sunnah. What is the sign in my daily life that I am abundant? In your daily life? Give an example from daily life.
When you say, why should I?
When I say, why should I? Okay.
Then you have to choose between Allah's wish and my wish.
That could be weakness, to choose between Allah's wish and mine. I could be weak. You know, I need a little bit to be stronger. But what is the sign? We all say it. I gave you a clue. Young and old. And especially the young more than the old. Well, these days I'm hearing it all over. I got it is fine. When someone tells you something, you say, I know. Immediately you pushed away a possibility of truth. A possibility that you are wrong. I didn't say you're wrong, but is it possible? Like Imam Shafi'i, I want you all to memorize this. When he disagreed with Imam Shafi'i, you know who's he? Beyond you and me knowledge. When he disagreed with people, and he was right, most of the time he was right. You know what he said? He never said, I'm right, who are you, what do you know, go and study. He said, my opinion is right, it could be wrong. And your opinion is wrong, but could be right. No more arrogance. So the moment I say, I know, hold back, take a breath. And think, what else? I need you from daily life, because if I keep giving you the verses and the hadith, you will know it, but you're gonna leave and I'm done. What is the other sign I'm arrogant? So one of you said it on this side.
I can do something.
Right? Saying, it's our tongue immediately. Tell me what is here. I don't need your help, or I don't need your advice. Advice. When you say to somebody, I know, I don't need your advice, what are you saying literally, internally? Sister, this chairs here. What are you saying inside you? Or as they say, halaki, your state, saying what? I am more knowledgeable. Once you say, I know, you're telling the other person, I'm more knowledgeable than you. I don't need your help, could be, but the other one is, who are you to tell me? We say that all the time. Yes or no? Am I saying the truth? Am I exaggerating? This is how we learn reality. The problem is not we don't know. Most of you probably have heard this before. The problem is I don't know it is me. And I know I'm doing it in my daily life. Because if I don't know this, how I will change? I don't want to end up in Jahannam. La yadkhulu al-Jannah. Memorize this hadith with engrave it in your heart. La yadkhulu al-Jannah. Man kana fi qalbihi mithqala dharratin min kibr. The person who has, she or he, has an atom weight. What is the atom? What is the dharra? Can't see it. Atom weight of arrogance, they will not enter Jannah. It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem. And we human being, exactly, sometimes, please forgive me, I don't mean you, I mean me, act exactly like shaitan. True or false? True or false? Tell me, alhamdulillah, tell me how. By being arrogant, how? What did he say? أَأَجْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ طَيْنًا. He said, there is many ways in the Quran. I'm just going to give you whatever Allah brings to my memory. أعزت بمن خلقت طينا I. This is Shaitan speaking to Allah in Surah Al-Isra. I gonna prostrate to who you created from. Mud. How do we say same way, but we didn't say this? Think in your life. Me? You all are so scared to say it, but that's okay. Right? When you say me doing this, that's especially if what you are supposed to do or someone asking you to do is pleasing to Allah. Because that's what he said to him. قال ما منعك إلا تسجد إذا أمرتك. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's talking to Shaitan. He wanted to know the reason. He didn't judge him right away. And look at me. He said, why didn't you prostrate when I asked you, when I ordered you? Allah, the creator, saying to Shaitan. And he said, أنا خير منك. I'm better. خلقتني من ناري وخلقته من طين. You created him from fire. You created me from fire. You created him from clay. What did Allah says immediately? It's in Surah Al-A'raf. Again, that's why I told you it's in Al-A'raf. What did immediately Allah says? فَهْبِطْ مِنْهَا go down. He didn't get him out yet. He said, فَهْبِطْ go down, because he was with Allah. Status. And then I'm going to come to our life. He's with Allah, highest. He said, فَهْبِطْ مِنْهَا go down. Why, Ya Allah? فَمَا يَكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا. You cannot be arrogant in Jannah. And then he said, فَخْرُجْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّادِرِينَ. Leave. Leave. Anytime. Each one of us. Don't think, please. When, in these five, next 5 weeks, don't think of anybody you know. Be like Sayyidina Umar when he used to say, كُلْ نَسْخِ أَفْضَلْ مِنْكَ أَفْقَدْ مِنْكَ. Everybody is better than me. Everybody knows more than me. That's how Sayyidina Umar said. And at the end, remind me to give you some examples of the opposite of kibr. From people, if anyone has what they have, will be complete different status. So when you think, when these 5 weeks, don't think of people you know. Oh, I know, I know. Oh, she, this is exactly how she answers me. Then you didn't mind. I want you to think of yourself, each time alone, and say, when was the last time I said to somebody, I know, don't tell me, for sure. Oh, I've done this before. Another sign of kibr, so common between women. You praise yourself. And how do we praise ourselves? We don't say I'm very smart. Some says that. But how do you say? How do you say you're the best cook? Have you seen when you invite people to your home? Have you seen it? Right? So you put the food, right? And then you cooked that dish. You have no focus other than waiting to see what people will say. And nobody said it. Not even if you have guests in your home, on the table, dinner table, right? And children sat and your husband sat. What are you waiting? Nothing. They didn't say a word. What are you going to say? So, how was it? Am I right? Right? And then the children will kill you by saying, good. Right? No other comment. Good. Usual. And you are boiling inside. Because you've been cooking for 3 and 4 hours. You're waiting for the praise. Looking for praise. Let alone getting upset when you are not praised. Absolutely a sign of king. So look at yourself. And the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam described it. A man came to him, right? And he started by saying, دَيَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. You will not enter Jannah if you have the atom weight. So the man says, I want to make sure I'm saying it right because I don't want to say hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay, yeah. So he said, we all love, because that's the answer we all give to ourselves. We love to dress well and look beautiful. Is that kibble? And he said, no. And kibble, two things he defined it. غمط الحق وبطر الناس. Rejecting the truth and looking down at people. Rejecting the truth and lowering and looking down at people. Give me an example now. Unless we have examples, we will never learn. An example from reality. غمط الحق, you reject the truth. Give me an example. Anything in dunya or in akhirah, anything. The fact you are not giving me an example makes me worry. Example, you reject the truth. Woman, come on. Yes, please. Young, I love the young, please. So give me an example. So you keep doing something, it's not working, keep saying, I'll do it, I'll do it. Okay, very good example. Let's all of us hear it. So I love to play sport, whatever sport you love. What sport you love? Okay, mashallah. Basketball, ping pong, tennis, swimming, anyone, right? And you are a competitive person, because that's usually how it is. You're not doing it for just joy. Have you seen people when they lose in a match, two kids playing, what happens to them? They get so upset. That's kibble. That's kibble. You don't treat them harsh, but identify this in your child. Or let it be me. Right? So here you go. You keep trying, and then Allah is telling you it's not gonna work. No, I'll do it. No, I can't. I have it. What else? غمط بطر الحق. بطر الحق, you reject the truth. Obvious, things that's obvious.
If you see someone better than you, you try to make excuse, like if you hear someone.
That's the second part. بطر الناس, that's the second part. غمط الحق, truth. What is truth? Ya Rabbi, there's no truth in this life. Yalla, ya Megan. Anyway. Alhamdulillah, beautiful. Let's take example from our deen. Let's take example from our dunya. So Allah says, do it. Or Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, do it. You don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. You don't say, I am weak. You don't say, Allah, make it easy for me. You don't say, please help me. You're not arrogant. You're on the contrary. You're very humble. You know reality, right? So for example, when I speak about hijab, I always say, whoever say hijab is easy, I've never done it. Honestly, right? So when a woman comes to you and says, I really want to do it, but it is difficult on me, don't jump on her. Alhamdulillah. Pray for her, help her, make it easy. It's not easy with all this beauty around it. But when someone comes, let's not talk about hijab, but when someone's, it's so obvious. And then you say, no, it doesn't make sense. I am not convinced. Allah said so. And Rasulullah said so. And I am not convinced. Absolutely expression of kibr. What Iblis said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bata'ul haqq. So always when someone talks to you, this is why don't say, I know. Wait. Listen. They could be right. And if they turn to be wrong, what did you lose? Versus if right away you pushed it away, then you missed the truth. وَبَطَرُ النَّاسِ, you look down at people. Give me examples. Reality. Yes.
You feel like you're a good cook and somebody comes and tries to teach you how to cook the same thing that you think you're already good at. You say, no, I know.
I don't need the recipe. You have never tasted mine.
Right?
That's what I always live with this verse. لا تزكوا أنفسكم. Don't praise yourself. لا تزكوا أنفسكم. هو خير هو أعلم بمن اتقى. Allah said this in Surah Al-Najm. Don't praise yourself. in anything, Allah knows what's in your heart. And on the contrary, when someone prays you, and we are absolutely guilty in this, because what, the more we praise people, we inject in them what? Right. Inject kibr, arrogance. No one, like even patients when they tell me, if it wasn't for you, I was like, don't say that. Medicine by itself is a career that injects kibr in you. Don't make it even harder. You always say, if it was not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who brought you in my way, I would have never been back. You know what I'm saying? Push it, always connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you know why it is an obstacle in my path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La tuzakku anfusakum. Don't praise yourself. What is the commonest way we women praise ourselves? Commonest way. What an innocent group is this? It's not us, it's somebody else, right? The commonest we do it. All of us. Huh? In speech, I'll come to the dress, but in speech. I'm sorry?
I'm prettier than a certain somebody.
I can't hear you also.
I'm prettier than her.
Yeah, that's praising yourself. We praise our children. Indirectly, you're praising yourself. Oh, you didn't know where she got accepted. I have to make sure everybody in this city knows. You're laughing because it's true. And you put it on the social media. And I graduated from an I. And my son or my daughter, and emojis and all these pictures. That is a cool one for some. And I get jealous because jealousy, which we're going to talk about later on, jealousy stems from this. Jealousy, it's the fruit of kibir. Because I think I'm better than her. And Allah didn't tell me this. They didn't send me a message saying you're better than her. Kulukum li Adam wa Adam min turab. All of you originated from Adam. And where was Adam originated from? Dust. But I have to make sure I make it a point I am better than her. هذا التنافس we call it, this competition. Why do you have to get into this competition? Just tell me one thing. And you said the dress, the look, the purse, the shoes. Do you know all these? Right? Why?
Status.
And not only status. I am better. Especially things which has like, you know, the brand. Because the brand, what does it carry with it? Money. And money means status. So I have to make sure I'm doing this. To show everybody, I'm better. That's what on us. They are all less than me. It's serious. But we never look at it this way. We take it simple. I was like, what is the big deal? You know, I'm just going to go on by. I worked hard for it. All these. So kibr, what you say, the way you look at people. Give you an example. When you want to invite people, who are the first people you invite to your home? You have 50 friends.
The people that you think you can benefit from.
The people who, when you are associated with, regardless of their status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will give you more status. Oh, they are my friends. And people will say, wow, that's all inject in me. Kibir. So pay attention to what you say. Number two, pay attention how often you look for praise. We get it out from people. So what do you think? Anytime you ask people for, in an indirect way or direct way, for a praise, but and then I would say, don't praise yourself, but it makes me feel good. I was like, find something else to make you feel good. Because that will make you arrogant. and then you look down at people. I'll give you one example. This was one of the first lessons I learned from my teacher in Jeddah. SubhanAllah, she said, if you go in Ramadan to Mecca, it's very crowded, extremely crowded. And she said, as actually it's not even in Ramadan, she said, watch your heart when you are sitting in the Haram, in the house of Allah. And then next to you, the two places are empty. And there is a space. If the person who came in the Haram, he invites, not you and me. So that next to you come and sat a woman, looks like no status. Poor. How do you feel? And if on the left side, another word came in, who you obviously can tell, she is a woman of status. She examine your heart and see, do you feel the same toward both? No, exactly, I love you. I love you, it's so sweet, and says the truth like, absolutely not. Sometimes what do? We pull our chair to get closer. That's arrogance. That's arrogance. And who is better? إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best among you, those who are taqwa, could be the woman who Allah gave her all dunya, or could be the woman who Allah didn't give her all dunya. So how do we look at people? Which category we put people? I always say this, who are your friends? Each one of you, young and old, who are the people that you spend time with? Is the people who will give you benefit in dunya, or is the people who are going to give you benefit in akhirah? Are the people who are going to bring you closer to Allah? Usually these people who's going to bring you closer to Allah, they will kill your pride. Look at the word I use. They kill your pride. Absolutely. Will never praise you. And if they did, the first thing they will say, that was a kick ya Allah. I am not going to praise you more than Allah. Done. So look at your friends. Who do you choose to spend time with, your precious time that Allah will ask us about? That tells you who you are and where is the arrogance in you or in me. Rasul Abu Dharr al-Ghafari, Abu Dharr, Sahabi, Sahabi. In the presence of Rasul, he got upset with another Sahabi, but we don't know the name of the other one. He got upset. That tells you they are human like you and me. And he said, you who your mother is. And Rasulullah was sitting. He said to him, Ya Aba Dharr, innaka mru'un fika jahiliya. Ya Aba Dharr, you're a man, you still have ignorance inside you. You still have a character of ignorance. Ignorance meaning what they did before in you. There's four things, there's more, but I'm just going to cover these four. That makes me, not you, Audubillah, think I am better than people. Four things. One is knowledge. Knowledge, any kind of knowledge, let alone knowledge of deen. Or you memorize the Quran, or you know Arabic, or you teach people. And this gets into you, because everybody asks you, everybody prays you, right? And then when Allah tests you in something, someone send you an email and they, you name it, they wrote. How do you feel? If I get upset, I have a problem. I need to work on my kibble. Actually, I need to stop teaching. Because it should be the same way. If someone praised me, and if someone did not, then you are sincere. You are doing it for Allah only. So number one is knowledge. That's when we say, I know. And you get very upset when someone corrects you. How many of you get upset when someone corrects you, let alone your husband? Or your children. Remember the day you were in my womb? And he's right. Or she's right. So knowledge. Two. Wealth. Wealth. I have more. I have more. Especially when I show it off. Because wealth is a ni'mah. Is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's another opportunity for me and you to do what? To get closer to Allah if I use it the right way. Right? You know the famous hadith? Dhahab al-mufarridu. You know this hadith? Famous hadith of Rasulullah. The poor people, the meaning of the poor people of Medina came to Rasulullah. Look what they used to compete. Said, Ya Rasulullah, the rich people are ahead of us. Why? He said, they said, because they are spending money for your sake and we don't have the money. He said, okay, you want me to teach you something much better? And then he taught them dhikr. Dhikr of Allah. Without going into the details along him. They came after a week. Says, Ya Rasulullah, the rich people are doing the same. And he said, Hada fadullah yutihi ma yasha. This is the grace of Allah, give it to whom. So money, don't look at money as bad. It is bad. And it's a niqama. It's a punishment when I don't use it for the sake of Allah. When I waste it, when I use it to boost, then this is not what Allah intended it for. Two, three, woman,
beauty.
Beauty. And that's why this competition. Competition, subhanAllah, I don't know about here, but I've seen it. When people get invited, especially weddings or cap, they're so scared that somebody is going to come in wearing the same dress. You have this? I lived it one time. La ilaha illallah. And I looked and I said, Subhanak, how do you plan things? A woman came, there are two, the richest two who were invited. Everybody was waiting for them. Honestly. One of them came in, I can't tell you the dress. I mean, you can see the maker. The other lady came in wearing exactly the same dress. Exactly the same color. I was like, Subhanak. Don't do that. Don't compete in beauty. Whatever we will be, we're going to get old. And it's going to go away. Whatever you do. Whatever you do, ما خلق الله من داء إلا لهم دواء. Allah did not create any disease, but created with it treatment, except getting old. It's not going to change. سنة الله في الذين خلوا من قبل. سنة الله في عباده. This is the path, the way of Allah. ولن تجد لسنة الله تبديلا. Will never change. Nobody 70 will become 50. It's not going to happen. Whatever they do. So don't disobey Allah and look down at people because you're more beautiful. He gave it to you. There is things in me and you, I had nothing to do with it. One of them is the way I look. So if somebody is not beautiful, don't look at them. They have nothing to do with it. It's not their choice. So knowledge, wealth, money, and status, and coming to that. Status, who I am, who's my father, who's my mother. You don't see it much in this country, walillah alhamd. You see it in a different way, the color of the skin. But in certain places of the world, is what's the name of your family? And what's the last name? Oh, if the name was not something. Don't. Because again, I have no choice. And the fifth one, which is from that time till now, followers. Followers. And these days the followers are social media. What is the influencers are? Who are they? Why do they call them influencers? Because they influence people by what they post. And if you have 200 or 300,000, or you have 1 million and 2 million, some people have 7, 8, 10, or 15 million. Allah put you in two positions. There is no third. Either through these followers, He is going to exalt you even more because you changed people to the better, or the other way around. Which one you want to be? Which one you want to be? So these five, knowledge, wealth, look, beauty, my status, my, you add to it also my career and followers. So what do? Now we're all depressed. Now we all found out the issue that we thought we did not have it. But I asked you the question the first time, and I told you, don't answer me. How many, don't show me. Is the majority of you said yes? Or the majority of you said, no, we are not. I'm not arrogant. Majority said yes, alhamdulillah. So now we find out. So what do? Go and cry and stay in the house and cry without Allah. Allah, so I'm done. Well, I'm going to go to Jahannam. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not what he wants me to do. What do? Number one, we have to have solutions. Just, and I, again, I said to the patients, okay, you gave me the complaint. What am I going to do about it? Right? So number one, who can tell me what is number one? First step to treatment, number one. I'm sorry? Before that. Who said that? Acknowledge that you are, I am, I have this problem. Because if I don't acknowledge it, I'm not going to change. If somebody says, are you arrogant? No, I'm not. Oh, there's nobody more. Oh, you should see me. The moment you say this, it's like, okay, because that's crazy. That's crazy. I got a question the other day. Young woman, may Allah reward her, and she says, I am, starts by two lines of praising. Everybody in the house trusts me. They all take my opinion. I was like, great, this is really a good start. I actually told her, I was like, that is a cool person. So here you go. Number one, acknowledge. So number one, I have it. Number two, how? This is, am I? Okay, I have it because everybody has it. How, when I act as arrogant? When do I feel as an arrogant person? When? I just shared it with you. When I look down at people in me, internally, and this needs to be brushed right away. And I made me say she's better than me. When I feel angry about someone has something, I don't have it. Because I think I deserve it more than her. That means I look down at her. That's two. Three, when I fish for praise. And unfortunately, we live in a time that everybody, you know what they tell you when you apply for jobs? Hate the word. Those of you who are in there, who work, what do they tell you? Sell yourself. When you go for an interview, that's what they teach you. Sell yourself. Well, do you know what they ask you? Why should I pick you? Or what do they say? Tell me your strength. Now I have to praise myself. It's very common. Tell me three of your weaknesses and three of your strength. So when I feel I am so eager to praise myself, alhamdulillah, they asked, I'm ready. I'm very patient. Really? So when you want to praise yourself, or you're happy when someone is praising you, you are. Yes? Let me give you examples now. Examples of the people. Yeah, don't feel sad, inshallah, Allah, one day. When I read this, I was like, I'm done. But I was like, ya Allah, the Kareem, you gave them, maybe you will give it to me. So everybody knows Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? Yes or no? Who is he? You said yes. You said yes. He's the fifth Khalifa. Like, what does that mean? Teach the young who probably they have not heard about him. Right? Have you heard about Umar ibn Abdul? Exactly. Right? So who is Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? The fifth Khalifa. That was really helpful. He's a grandson of Sayyidina Umar from the mother's side. I think great grandson, right. Number two, he was not the fifth Khalifa in sequence. He was actually way after, at the Umayyad time. But what's so special about him? He was absolutely the richest man. He was the most knowledgeable. He was very well looking. And he was the leader. And Allah changed his heart. And he only ruled for 40 years. Only 40 years. In his time, there was no one deserved zakah. There was no poor in that city. So look what he said. Guests came to his house. So unto you all are going to feel it. Right? In the night, guests came. And he was actually studying or writing. So he had a lantern. You know, these days, or those days, they didn't have electricity. So they had lantern. And how do you turn on the lantern? What do you need?
Oil.
And at one point, the oil will run and you have to go and fill it. So as he was with them, gradually the lantern becomes fainter and fainter. So naturally, the guest said, I'll go and fill it. And look how he responded. He said, ليس من كرم الرجل أن يستخدم ضيفا. It is not a sign of nobility of a man that he asked his guest to do something for him. Then he said, okay, let's call the servant. He has ghulam, young man. And he said, he just went to bed. And then he picked up the lantern, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz the Khalifa, and walked and filled it. But that's not the beauty of the story. So he brought it back. And the man says, قمت أنت يا أمير المؤمنين. You got up. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers, you did it? Can I ask you, if somebody said this to you, do this, what do you answer?
Why not?
Like, why not? Okay. What else? A more humble answer. It's not a big deal.
It's my pleasure.
Look what he said. It's in the same line. He said, ذهبتُ وأنا عمر ورجعتُ وأنا عمر ما نقص مني شيء. I went to fill the oil, and my name was Umar, and came back, and my name is Umar, and nothing was changed. I was not less. So if someone tells you, go and get the garbage out, why you're left? Why?
I'm going to use it on my son tonight.
You didn't learn. What did I say? Don't think of anyone, remember? Because this is the natural. You always think of someone else. Don't think of your son yet. It's, you know why? Because I have to be the example. What's a something or a task that you think you shouldn't do? Me? Anna, after all these years, give me an example. That thing you need to go and do. When inside you, not someone tells you, inside you, I'm going to stand up and wash dishes? Me? I used to do this when I was in college. Now? That's kidding. So anytime you think that you are overqualified, we use this term in the professional world, overqualified to do something, then I am arrogant. Okay? Let me give you Mu'adh ibn Jabal. There's some people, when you hear their names and their sayings, literally pay attention. He said, you will not reach the highest level of faith. Nothing to do with salah, nothing to do with zakah, nothing to do with qiyam al-layl, praying the night, nothing. Let's see. How can I get the highest level of faith? Hatta. Being humble is way more beloved to you than having a status. Being humble, way more beloved to you than having a status. When you come in a room, and there is no empty space, do you expect people, some, to get up and give you their place? If yes, then you are, or I am. Or if the only place is left is next to the door, and I look and I say, I'm not going to be sitting there, then I am arrogant. It's very common, I don't know here, but it's very common in Ramadan, in Taraweeh. The woman all wants to be in the front row because they want to see the imam. And they keep the spaces. You don't have this here, maybe. I don't know, but we have it. And same thing in the hall. So when I come, I'm coming. And my friend booked the place for me, reserved the place for me. And I come and I see someone sitting in it. How do I feel? Nothing? Nothing? Who are you? You shouldn't make Allah reward you. You shouldn't. It's not your space. But if I feel, this is the word I want you all to remember. If I feel I am entitled, then I have kibr. Entitled. Of course I should. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, who's also a very saint, he's a man of tazkiyah, he said, the essence that you are humble, now the other way around, let's see, are we humble? He said, Ra'su tawadu, the real indicator that you are humble is when you put yourself lower than the people who have dunya. And you tell that person that you are not interested in the dunya. You don't compete. You don't look at the house. You don't look at the car. You don't look at their children. And you elevate yourself above those who are so indulged in dunya. Then you know you're not interested. You know when you say I'm not interested because you don't like it? Whether it's a food, whether it's a sport, whether it's something. You are humble when you don't get into this competition of people. Not because you can't, and specifically if you can. Especially if you can, that's harder. Because if you can't, you can't. But if you can, for sure you can. For sure you can go and do this and buy this and you have it. But you say, you know what? I'm not going to be part of this competition. Then you are Antawada. Ummu Darda. Who is Ummu Darda? The wife of Abu Darda. Okay. Thank you. And who is that? Right? Who is Ummu Darda? Now? So she is? Huh? Ummu Darda is a? Yes? Right. So she is not only a Sahabiya, but she and her husband, what they did for Islam. And they were wealthy, they had money. And I read this in many books of how they used to see her sitting with the poor woman only. And this is Ummu Darda and Abu Darda.
Was she the mother of Anas?
I'm sorry?
Was she the mother of Anas?
No. And Sayyidina Qatada, who's a very famous commentary of the Quran, but he's also a man of the heart, he said, now look at this, applies to you and me. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi, don't make us of these people. He said, whomsoever Allah gave them. Number one, money, wealth. Two, beauty. Beautiful dress. And or knowledge. Beauty, wealth, knowledge, status, because it shows in your dress. And he did not act with humbleness. It will be wabal on the day of judgment. It will be severe punishment on the day of judgment. Severe punishment on the day of judgment. And enough to me all the time, I remember when the Sahaba came to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, right? You know this? Sayyidina Umar actually. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was sleeping in the masjid. There's no this beautiful 5-inch carpet. Right, he was sleeping on a mat. Wait, and then the shoulder was exposed. So he was sleeping, and Sayyidina Umar, this is in Medina, so later, when dunya was open, and he saw the marks. He says, Ya Rasulullah, can you allow me, will you allow me just to get you a mat? What did he say? Who knows the answer? ما لي والدنيا. Why? What? I have nothing to do with dunya. I'm not interested. My relationship with dunya, with this life, is like a stranger, traveler. Travel, reached, slept under a tree for a while, and then left. He defined dunya having a mat. May Allah forgive us all what kind of a mattress we buy. So whomsoever, we're given these because sometimes you are born in a rich family. Allah gave you the knowledge. Allah created you beautiful. You have nothing to do with this. If you did not use it with humbleness and to bring people closer to Allah, and on the contrary, then this is a severe punishment on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ya Rabbi Ameen. Ya Rabbi Ameen. Ask Allah. Now comes the dua. Two things. I always make this dua for myself. بَصَّلْنِي بِعِيُوبَ نَفْسِي. Show me my shortcomings. Show me my shortcomings. Meaning when you come and tell me, I listen. Or something happens and I see it. I can't deny it. I have a temper. Or I am a miser. A miser, he shows me. Or I am arrogant, he shows me. And I don't deny it. And number two, and this is the dua of Sayyidina Umar. رحم الله امرئا اهدى الي عيوب نفسي. May Allah bless that person who gifted me my shortcomings. I don't want you to praise me. This is what you all have to do. And ask people, don't praise me. Enough is me, my nafs. Don't praise me. But be also gentle. Gentle. In the way you gift me my shortcomings. And I need to be, here is my kibbutz is tested. Someone come and tell me, you are this and you are that. I don't say, no, I'm not. That's kibbutz. And I say, Jazakillahu khair. And then I go back and say, Ya Allah, is this just true? Show me. And then the third is help me to change. Help me to change. Because we rarely, rarely, human beings, help each other in this. What do you normally say? She's not going to accept it. I'm not going to tell her. She's going to get upset. I don't want to upset anybody. But at least make dua. If you don't want to say it, at least make dua for her. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pave this path for us in our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may He show us all these as truth. We see it, not only hear it, but we see it and we don't see it in people. We see it in ourselves, and then He helps us, Ya Rabbi Ameen, to change. Jazakum Allahu khairan, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi taslima kathira. Any question? Don't forget the Saturday. You all know? Sure. Really? How come?
Reproduction.
Yeah, there is. I'm going to do something special for the woman. I haven't done it before. You're the first one. I mean, the first city I do it. There's a lot of discussions about, especially these days, Roe versus Wade, abortion, IVF, what is decent Islam? So all the reproductive, contemporary reproductive issues that is related to the Muslim woman. We're going to cover it completely. It's this Saturday, inshallah, from here. It's going to be actually, I was told, in the Musalla, in the men area. Because it's bigger, they say, so it's for accommodate everyone. It's from 11, and we'll finish the evening at 12:45. Maybe about an hour and 15 minutes, I will have slides and we'll discuss, then we'll leave it to your questions. Bring the youth also. This is extremely important for the youth. Because that's a discussion is being, if you work in this world, outside your home, this is the commonest discussion. Because this is all over the news. Since the leak, you know this? You know the leak of the Supreme Court? How many of you know? Show me hands. Really? That's a problem. That's a huge problem. You know what? I'll give you an example. I shared the story with some of you. When I was studying, we had an exam seal. And the teacher is a teacher from Medina. Tough. We're so scared. Right? And then she put this is 15 years ago, so we're still doing exams in paper. So she put the papers. Says, don't open it. And then she looked at all of us and says, what is the news today? News? I have an exam. And she said, you want to be da'i to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And you don't know what's going on in life? Who's going to listen to you? You want to affect your children? You want to have a conversation with your children? You don't know what is role versus weight? You're in big trouble. Because that's the commonest thing in this country these days. And the first question, I can't tell you how many times I've been asked, what does Islam say about abortion? So this is what we're going to be covering, inshallah. Not only abortion, IVF, IUI, all these issues, which one is halal, which one is haram, is all not allowed. And also we're going to cover a little bit on the creation in the Quran, how we were created to start with. So inshallah, this coming Saturday at 11 o'clock, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us life in here, 11 to 12:45. And yes, I'm sorry. What a question. I leave it to the Rahma Center people. I'm not going to cover. Yes.
I actually
had a question. Yes, alhamdulillah.
Thank you. So from the perspective of discussing the idea of seeking praise as a sign of arrogance,
yeah.
I was curious, how do we balance that with, you know, maybe having worked with a lot of women, like
self-esteem.
Self-esteem, low confidence,
exactly.
Especially like when you mentioned the dinner while laughing.
Yes.
Want your spouse to be pleased with your effort, or so I'm curious.
Yeah. So let me repeat the question for the audience online. How do you balance the self-esteem versus the kibbutz? Because sometimes when people praise you, you feel good, right? You don't feel down at yourself, and you don't want to feel down at yourself because that can be destroying, destructive. Versus kibbutz. Don't ask for it. He will come to you. Don't ask for it. Allah knows. Number one. Number two, and this is a very important question. One day I'm going to do about self-esteem, because this is a huge issue. Enough, I say this to myself before anyone. Enough, I'm a human being. Enough, Allah created me. And He said it. Karamna bani Adam. He said, I, Allah, have honored the human being. Why I don't believe in me? Why do I want, why me, my status, the way I look at myself is based on what people think of me and not what Allah think of me. So don't, what I was trying to explain is don't seek it. Because once you seek the praise and you get upset when someone doesn't praise you, you have it. You're building your arrogance. But if it comes, alhamdulillah, if it comes, and it will. I mean, if the food is good, it's good. But don't say I'm the best person who bake cake. No. Or I'm the best person to do this or that. Yes, you had a question. How about we still have time? Yes,
Robin. Yeah, that was my question.
Oh, so you see?
In building your own confidence. So I do know how to cook well. I'm proud of my own cooking. I don't necessarily need to care for anybody.
Say it again. I don't think I heard it.
It's in this, in the same
just say it in exactly the example.
Yeah,
of it.
In terms of building my own self-confidence, not necessarily eating carefully.
Yeah, this is a very good point. You cooked it, you tasted it, it tastes good. Why don't you believe in yourself? Why do I have to hear it from you? And I'm tasting it, tastes good. This is one of the ways you treat, you talk to the woman. But my point is, don't live, and this will apply to everything as we can go. Don't live based on what people think of you. Live based on what Allah think of you. Every time I read this, more than one sentence in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Sayyidina Ayyub, He said to us, Sayyidina Sulaiman, Ni'ma al-abd. Ni'ma al-abd. Innahu awwab. What a servant he is. Allah's looking at him. It's for Sayyidina Sulaiman and Dawood. What a servant. He always returned to Allah. And then what he said about Sayyidina Ayyub, Inna wajadnahu sabira. We found him patient. Allah's looking. Like you are looking at me, and I'm looking at you. Allah is looking at me and looking at you. Why what you think of me is more important than what Allah thinks of me? Why? We don't know, but this is how we act. This is how we act. If I'm doing something pleasing to Allah, but people didn't like it, why do I get upset and sad? It's pleasing to my Creator. So always, and now this is what I said, the self-esteem is to look at what, don't focus on what people think of you. Because people can be wrong. Or they have their own agenda. They want to put you down. Look at what Allah said about you, me, and build on it. And they could be right, but also they could be wrong. Don't live in the, I'll come to you in a second, don't live in the circle of people. Live in the circle of Allah, Him. And people meaning everybody. That doesn't mean you're not going to take care of people, but you're taking care of them, close and far, because that's what He wants you to do. You see my point? Everything is to please Him, not to please people. Yes? That's a different story.
So that was crazy. Like, I always expected to say thank you when I put food and if I don't, like,
so this is a different aspect. Because what is the niya? So she says when she cooks and put the food on the table, she wants to teach the children to be grateful. And the first one to be grateful to? Have you been invited to non-Muslim homes? You need to. You live in this country. Every time I am with the non-Muslims, you know what the first thing they tell me? What prayer you will say? Bismillah. I will say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And they say, what else? I say, when we finish, we say, Alhamdulillah wa rahman. Alhamdulillah at'amana wa sa'amana. Alhamdulillah at'amana bina hawla bi wa la quwwa. Make me eat, fed me without me having any ability or power. So when I want to teach my children, I'm not going to say, Alhamdulillah, thank you, Mom. No, I missed it. Number one, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you put food on the table. You gave me a mother. You gave me someone who, there is people who have mother, but they don't care about them. You gave me a mother. You gave me a mother who cares. You gave me a mother who cares even more to cook what I like. And you need to be grateful to Him that He sent you this. And absolutely, whosoever is not grateful, or doesn't show thankfulness, gratefulness to people, is not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I'm talking about praise. What do you think? So how is it? And they said, good. That's it? Right? And we need training, because we all loved it. I want to hear what people say. So you keep saying, you know what? Don't you ask them. Talk to yourself. Don't you ask them. And if they praise you, you always say, they don't know what's my shortcomings. Ya Rabbi, any other question? Yes.
How do you advise to, you know, when you are in a job interview situation where they ask you, so personally they ask me, what is your biggest accomplishment? And I want you to brag about
what is my biggest accomplishment?
Yes. And if you don't answer, it seems like you're not confident enough. They're not
so think at work or people?
For interview, for job interview.
You know what I say? Are you ready? Nobody asked me, but if they asked me, I say, he made me a servant of him.
Yes, but like in Burnley, why is it you're going to something?
I said, I don't know, ask my colleagues.
But do you think if we give them an answer that they expect? Like,
the way you say it. You know what they always say in this country? It's not what you say, it's how you say it. If I say, I don't like to praise myself, that's, I'm a very confident person. Right? I'm very confident. I don't like praising myself. You tell me, what do you see in me? And let's say she started praising me. It's like, really? No, no. You should ask my husband. Or you should ask my children. You know what I'm saying? It's very important to be confident. I can't tell you, especially women who practice. It's so important. And the other day, I was in a store here. I don't know who was the lady. And I saw the woman was wearing hijab, young lady. Ya Allah, how confident this woman was at the cashier. Because the woman before me was a white woman. Ask the usual question. What was the question? Where are you from? Right? And some people get really annoyed by this question. Look at the way she answered. And literally, I stopped and I was watching her. Because this is how we should be. As Muslim woman, she's a cashier, wearing full hijab, smiling. The first thing she said to the lady, good morning, how is your day? How many of us do that? I looked at her after she said, you made me so happy. She said, why? I said, this is how we should be. Because this woman who had this interaction with you, this could be the only time she will ever see a woman wearing hijab. And all the stereotypes, right? You all removed it in this 5 minutes as you were doing her questions. So it is not how, it's not what I say, it's how I say it. And enough that I am Allah's parent and I'm not being arrogant, I'm being very grateful. It's not me, it's Him. Made me a Muslim. Alhamdulillah. He facilitated for me to obey Him. It's very hard. This day and age is very difficult. He facilitated. Let alone He made me love it. Let alone He opened the opportunity for me. That's why I started by saying, be grateful for this. Don't take this as granted. I'll go home. I'll listen online. Don't do that. Because you can take it right away. So yes, and people know you're confident. The way you speak. And you know why you are confident? It was someone come and they want to be on your nerves. Or they wanted to say the things to irritate you. And the best way when someone irritates you, do what? Nothing. As if you didn't hear it. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا إذا خاطبهم جاهلون قالوا سلاما. The real servant of the most merciful, they walk on earth with humbleness, and when the ignorant talk to them, they say peace. Don't get engaged in this. This is a training, by the way, and this is a quality we can give it to our children if we have it. If I don't have it, I'm not going to be able to give it to my children. If I am arrogant, let it. Rest assured, the children will be out because they learned it from you. They will say in the Arabic language, فَاقَدْ الشَّيْءَ لَا يَعْقِلُ. The one who doesn't have something cannot give it. Any other question? Yes, please. I can't hear you.
What did the girl say to the lady?
What was?
What did the girl say to the lady, the cashier girl?
She told her, I'm from Pakistan. And she was so confident. She has an accent. I'm glad I remembered. Young people, and this is specifically for the young or not very young people, but they grew up in this country, looking down at people because they have an accent. That's arrogance. And this is very common. Between us, she has very heavy issue. This looking down at people, the way they speak is an arrogance. Don't do that. And if someone point out that to you, salama, peace. Yes.
I have a family. I was working in a hospital.
So she was working in a hospital. I'm just repeating because the people can hear.
I was in the front desk.
Front desk in the hospital.
This lady.
So the patient comes in, see her wearing hijab.
I'm sorry, did you just get come out of the shower?
She said what?
Did you just wash your hair, came out of the shower?
Oh, so she thought she covered it because she just came from the shower. People don't know. How many people have asked you, are you a nun?
Yeah.
Are you a sister? Are you a whole sister? Just while I was coming here, the lady next to me says, can I ask you a question? I was like, I know it's coming. I was like, yeah, sure. And she said, are you a holy sister? Or, and I said, or. Started out. And then we started a beautiful conversation. So alhamdulillah, this is the last thing I will end up so we can get ready for Maghrib. When people say things to you, always think they don't know. Don't think ill of people, right? They really don't know, majority of people don't know. And if they have another intention, how do you know? Allah will take them. But always take it, as we say, face value. You know, they don't know, explain it. They didn't like it, alhamdulillah. But don't be upset. You know how we sometimes get upset and we get agitated? Don't do that. Don't do that. Alhamdulillah. Jazakum Allah khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وعلى آله وأصحابه كسبهم الكثير. بارك الله فيكم. الله يبارك فيكم.